Good evening, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom, the show about the Akashic Records, where you are my guest. And tonight is no different. The guest we have tonight is you. Now, we were having a wonderful discussion last week about October 14th, which is coming up, you know, obviously Tuesday. And you know what's interesting about that is I told you before that if you went up on Google Earth, you could see a wonderful pentagon and a triangle. Well, sometime over the week, I haven't looked at it lately because I've been out of town. What it changed to was actually a snow cone. And the reason that's so incredible is because the snow cone is exactly what Blossom Goodchild had channeled from the Federation of Light, that they told her to watch for the snow cone. So that's what's up on the shadow on planet Earth last time I looked. So I don't know if you folks have looked at something and see differently or not. But we don't have to talk about October 14th and ETs visiting the planet. We can talk about anything you want to talk about. Again, this is a show about Akashic Records. And just to kind of give you, if anyone's just tuning in, never listened to Akashic Wisdom before, the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. So every thought, every word, every deed are registered in the Akasha, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. But we're not going to work with past lives, and it don't typically work with futures. We talk about the here and now and why things happened in your life the way they did and why you have certain patterns, etc. And basically, the records will never really tell you what to do. They won't take your power away. They'll give you all the information you need in order to make the appropriate decisions. And so tonight, we're going to talk about, well, whatever you would like to talk about. I'll tell you what I just came out of. I literally walked right in and threw up my computer. In fact, it's still booting up. Just came from the Universal Light Expo in Columbus, Ohio. And what was fun about that is I had over 125 people at my lecture and whole bunch of folks that stopped by my booth, and I was doing consultations there. I was doing matrix energetics work there. And what was interesting is that this particular expo, the talk was on prosperity, and the consultations, if I were to give you a theme of the consultations, not because I remember what people or what I tell people, because typically when I do a one-on-one consultation, I really don't remember, 5 minutes after it's done, I don't remember what I told my client, mainly because it's not my stuff. So, I do these consultations all over the country and the world, so it's all done by telephone. Unless I go to an expo like this, and what's special about this one, and the reason I can actually do consultations, is a very dear and wonderful friend of mine, by the name of Wendy, and she is able to take care of the front of the booth while I help other people and do consultations behind a screen, which is really very helpful. But what's important to understand is that, as I was saying, the theme, if I were to give a theme, as I've just kind of written down the theme of the different consultations, it was more along the lines of what's my next step? What am I supposed to do with my life? How do I move forward with my plan? And the issue is, and I know that this is a big deal for a lot of people, is what is my plan? And how do I find my life's purpose? And how do I know I'm on the right track? We've talked about this before, and we've actually dedicated a whole night for people calling and saying what's their purpose. And I typically don't like to answer those kind of questions because it's not necessarily interesting to you that's listening. I mean, if you have five people asking what's your purpose, you know, that can be a little bit boring. But the, it's very interesting to them, but you guys really don't care. And the other piece that's important here, but what I'm bringing out here is there's a general message that's here for you about how you find your heart's desire, if you will. Now, and how do you find what your purpose is? And how do you know if you're right and you're doing it the right way, or if you're really on task, or if you're really in the right career? And the underlying thing that we have to look at is we here in America, and I probably different cultures have different issues, I suppose, but the majority of folks I talk to are so invested in having to do it right. And so what I'd like to talk to you about is how doing it right, or the fear of doing it wrong, has affected your life. And it's not only just from a career point of view, but it's relationships, and it's definitely in career. Interestingly enough, and there's some people that worry about whether or not they've parented right, but they don't typically worry about whether they parented right until after the kids are older and things aren't going real well. And so I think that's an important piece here, is to know that that's something we should really be questioning about, whether we're parenting right. Whether you have the right career or not is not as crucial as parenting. And the reason I'm talking about parenting tonight as a part of whether you're doing it right or not is that when I work with people, again, we're talking about themes here, we as humans don't realize how important our words are to our children. And we don't realize that when our children are young, they really do think of us as gods, because sometimes that's actually how we get a little screwed up, because as children we think about our parents as authority figures that can't do anything wrong, and whether they're kind to us or whether they're abusive, that's what we learn we deserve. And we grow our whole life based on how we've been treated as children. I was talking to a lady at the expo who had a very damaging relationship with her mom and was feeling that her mother never really loved her and felt that her mom has been very cruel to her. And I've talked to other people in higher places, in high places, people that are, they're very, what would outwardly look like they are successful. And yet, these same people feel that they are playing, a part, and that they're not really, they feel like they're imposters because they don't feel they're worthy of their success. They don't really feel they earned their success. And so many times what happens is they try to sabotage themselves because they don't feel worthy of receiving that success. And then there are other folks that have been challenged by their parents because their parents chose words that were damaging to the kids. And what we'd forget is that our parents parent us, or parented us, the way they were parented. And unless you are very enlightened, and unless you're very aware, you typically will parent the way you were parented. And hopefully, if you were parented in a way that was damaging, you've learned your lesson by now, or you've learned what you don't want your children to go through, and so you've hopefully broken the mold, and you've chosen to parent differently. But what I'm talking about are the parents. There's like, you've got the spectrum. You've got these parents on the end of the spectrum that were abused as kids, and so they abuse their children, and whether it's physically, sexually, or emotionally, or verbally, you've got that end of the spectrum that they're emulating what they received and what they got. And on the other end of the spectrum are parents that, let's say, were in that same situation, were abused, and they are on the other end trying to be so perfect, but even in their intention of perfection, it's damaging. So it's like you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. What do you do with kids? And how do you raise them? And one of the things the Akashic Records are talking about here from a parenting point of view, and by the way, I want you to not tune out of this if you don't have children, because the parenting we're talking about here is not just parenting your physical children, the natural children of your body or adopted kids. It's also, we're talking about parenting your inner child. We're also talking about how do you talk to yourself and how do you nurture yourself and how do you parent yourself. So you have the ability to re-parent yourself in a way that truly can shift your thinking and shift your energy. So here's the deal. Who I'm talking to right now are not the ones at the other end of the spectrum. I'm talking to the people who really think they're doing a good job and who are really have the intention of doing a good job, but don't realize how important their words are to kids and how damaging the words are. So, for example, when you're working with your kids, you have to know that whether you call them goofy, silly, stupid, and you know you're kidding, the child doesn't know you're kidding. And even if you say he doesn't understand or she doesn't understand, eventually that word and those words are embedded in their subconscious, and eventually they find out the definitions of those words. Now, it's interesting the way the mind works here, because those comments and those words actually play back when, at the most inopportune times, when they're trying to be a success. And so the reason for the comments tonight, I know we started talking about soul purpose, but one of the reasons why people feel so blocked around their soul purpose and feel that they have to be right has to do with the way they were parented. So that is what the way we're bringing that full circle. So I want you to just consider, if in fact you have children, and I want you to consider, especially if they're really young, I want you to consider choosing only loving and supportive words. And that's not to say that these kids are always right. That's not what we're talking about. What we are talking about is being able to work with these children and shift their energy in a way that's positive rather than telling them they're wrong from the time they're old enough to understand words. And so rather than saying, don't do this, and again, I don't want to give you a phobia here, but it's really about taking the time as a parent to read what you need to know about parenting. You know, parenting is one of the most important jobs on the planet, if not the most important job, because that's what creates our next generation. And it is the one that offers the least amount of training. We don't really think about training to be a parent. we might think about reading books about how to take care of a baby and what a baby needs. And some mothers read every book there is about what's the right thing or the philosophies of how to take care of a child, a little one that just comes in, a newborn. And there's some mothers that don't even bother to read anything, and they just kind of wing it. And there's other mothers that say, no, I didn't know really what I was doing, but they worked out okay. And so what is being said here is that this new generation, these new children that are coming onto this planet, need your care and need your consciousness to raise them in a way that is a 360-degree turnaround from the way that you were raised if you were raised in an unsupportive way. One of the issues around child obesity isn't just lack of exercise, isn't just because we have television all the time. Okay, part of that childhood obesity has to do with the psychological implications of these kids feeling lost and unsupervised and feeling like they don't know what else to do with themselves. Now, I'm not trying to rail on parents here. What I am trying to do and what the record keepers are trying to say is that it's very important that you become conscious about what's happening to your child and how your words impact on your child. And so take it one step further. The way you heal your kids is the way you heal yourself. And so let's talk about self-talk that you create for yourself. What do you say to yourself when you think you've done something wrong? How often do you beat yourself up during the day? How often do you call yourself stupid? How often do you move into trying to push your feelings down so you don't speak your truth out of fear of rejection or fear of not being understood or fear of being not liked? And what you sacrifice when you hold back your own personal truth, what you sacrifice when you hold those emotions in or criticize yourself, what you sacrifice is the self-talk that is supportive to you. So what I'd like to open up and talk about tonight is if you are a parent out there and you're having a parenting challenge with children, you have kids that are either out of control or you're stumped on what to do, please give a call. And I want to talk to you. You know, the records are open here. And you can also email me your questions. If you want to email questions, but please include your current legal name and the legal name of the child you're asking about. Now, it's not about me opening up your child's records. I'm not going to do that. Because we can't open the records of anybody under the age of 18. That's not a part of our work. But the idea here is, if you're having parenting challenges, let's see what the Akashic Records have to say on how you can heal your relationship and what your child needs from you. So the question is what does your child need from you in the area of, and we fill in the blanks. So I encourage you to give a call. Let me tell you the email to use. The only email I'm really responding to these days is info@akashicwisdom.com. So if you have a question for me and you want to email it to me, that's the email that I have up on my screen right now. And I will see if you send me an email if you have questions. And let's say you're an adult that has had issues and you want to kind of heal your relationship with your parents, either whether they're on the planet or not, then it would be important to call in. So I think, do you have a caller on the line?
Yes.
I do.
Hi, Dana. Okay. How you doing?
Donna, but how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Calgary.
Calgary. Oh, great. And what is your name?
My name is Andrew.
Hi, Andrew. Have you listened to the program before, or is this new for you?
No, this is totally new. I actually just discovered your station, and Akashic Records keep coming up for me. And
okay.
You have a fantastic topic tonight, and I don't mean to bring you off course, but I did feel inspired to ask this question. As I keep being given tools and information regarding the records, and obviously there's something there for me. So I'm just looking for your advice or your wisdom on ways one can access the records to find the information they're being guided to.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, there are many ways to access the records. Healers, are you a healer, or what kind of, are you into some type of special spirituality modality?
I wouldn't consider myself an expert in any specific modality. I'm a seventh generation, entpreneur and on a journey to help educate and bring the seventh gen into this new earth that's emerging.
That's great. Okay. Well, one of the things, so let me just kind of give you a little history here. The Akashic Records, many times healers will just spontaneously drop into the records. There are some meditations out there that claim that they can get you into the records. And the reason I say claim is because I've never tried them, so I'm not saying that they don't. I'm just saying I don't have experience with that technique. And so please understand, I'm not trying to put one down or another, but because I don't have experience with it, I can't endorse it. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. So there's other people out there that say that they were just naturally gifted with the ability to work in the records. And I think all of that is very important. And you know, we're all on our own journeys for service, especially from an area of spirituality. But the way that I access the records, Andrew, is through a specific sacred prayer. And the prayer itself is a vibrational key that shifts the energy to make the information accessible.
Hmm.
So that it's an actual prayer, and what it does is it allows me to be able to move into the records and expand that energy within myself, so I merge with that that Akashic field, if you will. And what happens is when I say this specific sacred prayer, that's what happens. Now, I've been taught the prayer. It's something that I teach other people how to use the Akashic Records and this prayer. And so that's how I access not only my records, but there's also another specific prayer that when I do an individual consultation with someone, there's another prayer that helps me access their records with their permission. There are many ways people claim they access the Akasha, but I can't speak to them because I'm not familiar with them.
Right.
I really only know my way. And now, if you're in Calgary, there are teachers of the Akashic Records in Canada.
Mm.
Okay. Or you can come to a class in Cleveland that I'm teaching at the beginning of November to learn how to read your own Akashic Records.
Right.
So
now, would it make sense, Donna, that my inspiration...
Say again?
Would it make sense, Donna, that my inspiration is to... what keeps coming up is that I'm somehow playing a role in bringing together information, sacred knowledge, and compiling that to help build communities in certain areas for the future. And that's all starting right now.
About sustainable communities?
Pardon me?
Sustainable communities?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And I'm just getting the vibe that there's some information within the records that I'm supposed to tap into, whether it's perhaps the building structures or certain ways that the communities are to be formed or locations or whatnot. Does that make sense? Is that...
Sure it does. Absolutely. If that's what you're being called to, then I would strongly suggest that that you consider taking a class to, because what happens is when you learn how to access your own Akashic records, for example, when you're if you're trying to create or design something, you can actually, and this is something that I specifically teach in my classes, you can actually ask the record keepers with your own personal records open to help you and assist you in designing, and you fill in the blanks. And so people, I have clients and actually students that have designed total curriculums of workshops, have designed landscaping designs, have studied, have worked out mathematical problems. I have one student that is actually using her Akashic records to create music and her own CD. We have one teacher who uses the Akashic records to create soul mandalas. There are actors and actresses that use the Akashic records to go deeper into their character when they have a script. And there are writers that write from the Akasha, anything from articles to books to screenplays.
Wow.
So that's why when I first began the program, I try to explain a little bit and say that the Akashic records are so much more than just, quote-unquote, past lives. They're, because the energy, the field of the Akasha is vast and holds all the information one needs. And I tease about it, but I'm very serious when I say it's the ultimate search engine powered by the divine. So,
fantastic.
You know, it's like if you plug in something to a search engine, obviously the more specific thing that you want, the better the information. And the same thing with the Akashic records. So that everything we work with the Akashic records are based on the individual's questions, whether it's, if I'm opening my records, I ask a question, and then that question leads to another question, leads to another question, and I actually have a dialogue going with the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akasha. And that's what I teach my students, of how to create that dialogue and how to ask the questions that will get you to the right area of the records and will help you really actually uncover the heart's desire of what you're doing.
Well said. So is there a website then I can go to and learn more about the different upcoming workshops and that type of thing?
I just want to give you, my website is not updated as far as the actual classes are concerned, but if you go, for my classes, if you go up to the BBS radio information on my program, you'll see the updated information. There's a whole bunch of information there about what the Akashic records are and my list of events that I'm doing and the classes that are available, And there's that if you go up to the BBS part of my program. There's also a main website, of which I'm a member, a founding member of this organization, as well as I'm a certified teacher from, and that's Akashic Record Consultants International.org.
Right.
And that would have the list of names of the certified teachers who are in Canada.
Beautiful.
Okay, so
that feels right.
My recommendation to you and to all of our listeners is that you really move into going up to that website or my information as well, and finding and just kind of listening to your heart of which teacher are you drawn to study with. Feel free to question them on what they teach in their class. We have a brand new manual for the level one that is actually going to be introduced at our conference. We're having an actual, it's a beautiful conference we're having in Chicago, Illinois, and that conference is happening on October 25th and 26th of this month. But what's important about that conference is that they're going to be teaching a level one class prior to that conference. So that might be another way, if you're at all interested, you could actually call in and register for the conference, and having that level one class would help the conference be much more meaningful for you.
Right.
And that information is also on the website.
And the individual consultations, is that basically in an individual consultation, someone like yourself would be facilitating the process of accessing the records?
Yes, that's true. In other words, like what you would do is we would set a time for us, and I would give you a call, you'd call me, whatever would be working, and I would email you information, you would get your questions together, and then I would open the records. I would open your specific records, and then based on your questions, the information would come forward.
Got it.
And so it's very much a conversation. So if you were sitting in front of me, you would see that my eyes are wide open and I'm in full personality. And so we do all of this work consciously.
Mm.
It's not, and we never interpret anything. We tell you exactly, and this is all consultants, all teachers, we tell you exactly what we see, hear, or sometimes feel. So it's your information, not ours.
Right.
And we don't consider ourselves psychics either. Because the energy source of the Akashic Records is the heart connected to the mind that goes to source. So
mm-hmm.
It's heart chakra and your crown chakra. It's not at all third eye information.
Got it.
So that's why what our process is a bit different than other people's. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've explained it very well.
Yeah, it's very grounded information, and it's not that there's anything wrong with foo-foo. It's just what happens with a consultation with people who take the workshops are it's real-world information that they can use on an everyday basis, and you're encouraged to open your records on a daily basis for a minimum of 15 minutes and work up to as long as you can hold the energy. And it's like a muscle, so the more you use it, the better you get at it.
Wow.
And you can, and again, the way I teach it is I teach you how to, in this level one class, is not only how to access your own records, but what to do with it, how to heal relationships, how to expand your creativity, how to read books and in between the lines, and whatever else the group needs. And then level two, again, my level two workshops are 3 days. Other teachers teach 2 days. Again, it's personal preference. But my workshops for level two include how to access the records of the land and animals, as well as people. So, you know, it's something that you need to see where you feel the most drawn to and choose your teacher based on which name makes you feel the best or what you know to be what you really want from the workshop. And then call that teacher and ask them if that's what they're going to deliver.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. I'll look forward to going to these websites here, and don't be surprised if you hear from me soon.
Well, that'd be great. And again, just for your own information, here in Cleveland, I'm going to be doing a level one workshop on November 1st and 2nd.
Okay, perfect.
So just know that, and then again, you have the conference that's in October. That's another possibility where you would be able to learn too.
Excellent.
Okay. All right.
All right, you have a fantastic evening. I'll let you get back to the important topic tonight.
Okay, with G and
okay. All my best.
Questions. Blessings to you. Well, that's a nice call from Andrew. And I hope that was helpful and informative to you folks. It was a little off topic. But what's important for us to understand, we're going to go back a little bit to the parenting business. So please give a call. I'm sure if you're up on BBS Radio's website, you can really go ahead and we've got another caller. That's great. I was about to give the number, but you've already got it. Great. Who's on the line?
Hi, my name's Alicia Kim.
Alicia?
Uh-huh.
Hi, Alicia. How are you?
I'm good.
And where are you calling from?
From Wilton, California.
Oh, great. Have you called before?
Yes, I have.
Okay, great. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How can I help you tonight?
Well, you were talking about children, and I have two really great teenagers, and I'm always wanting to know how to be the best guide for them in their journey without, you know, being too strong, and I just wanted to talk to you tonight about that.
Sure, okay. All right, so this is, let me ask you a question. What are the ages of your kids?
My daughter is 16, and my son is 14.
And so what's your daughter's name?
Katie.
S-A-D-I-E?
K-A-T-I-E.
K-A-T-I-E or Y?
I-E.
And what's your son? And she's, how old did you say, 14?
She's 16.
16. And how old's your son?
He is 14. His name is Jacob.
Okay. So the way we work with the records to help you understand how you can best serve them. Now, was there anything specific you wanted to know, or you just want to know how you can best serve them?
I know it's their journey. I would like to best serve them, get through their education. I want them to find who they are and you know, I'm trying very hard not to make them feel like they have to become anything, and I want them to find what their passion is.
And how are you assisting them in asking those questions and on what they want to become?
Well, I just kind of leave it to them every day of you know, what excites you, what makes you feel your juice, why, you know, and leaving it to them because they have so many choices now.
Well, sure, and quite frankly, they're not going to make any decisions now. They're too young.
No, but I just want them to not feel pigeonholed by
absolutely
grades or test scores or anything else.
Right, but one of the things that's important, this is one of the things that's coming forward from the records, is
okay.
It's what's really important here for both your kids is that not to is not that there's still structure that's needed.
Okay.
So what's important, many times in our journey as parents, we want to be so loving and so open that we tell the kids they can do whatever they want to do and they're going to be loved and they're going to be success, etc. But
mm-hmm.
the reality is that they have nothing and no expectations to live up to. It's almost like helping the butterfly out of a cocoon.
Yeah. Well, they're in a fundamental Christian school,
they
are structured.
I'm sorry?
They're going to a fundamental Christian private school, so they are structured.
And are you a fundamentalist Christian?
Yeah, that's we're sending them to a private school.
Yeah.
So their education is very structured, and they have a lot of rules. I feel like I kind of need to be the balance to where there's still some freedom of thought for them.
And what made you choose a fundamentalist Christian school?
The crime in our private school.
Oh, wow, okay. All right. And so what message are they getting around their message they're receiving at that school about God in alignment with what is practiced in your home?
Well, they are seeing Jesus as loving and being in a very loving community. It is a little small-minded, but when they're at home, we're more easygoing. I'm a Reiki master and a massage therapist, and so they're seeing a lot of my influence also in taking God out of the box They're seeing kind of extremes, maybe.
Well, the reason that's being asked here is because
mm-hmm.
it's really about asking what their opinion is of those aspects, because in some, this is not criticizing your school choice, but what's happening here is that are the kids getting mixed messages, and are they learning that there are many, many avenues to truth? Hello? Are you there? Hello? Hello? Hello, hello? Hello, hello? Am I still on the air? Hello? So, I'll just continue. So, put me back on. Here I am. Okay, can I continue talking? All right, so I don't know what happened to Alicia, but if you want to call back, that's great. The reason I'm asking that question, I'm just going to continue this for a minute. What's happening within a situation where it's really important that we assist our children to understand the difference, because this has to do with being non-judgmental, it has to do with being tolerant of others, and it has to do with allowing other people to be who they are, that so it does not diminish who we are. And so if you have a situation where there is one thing being taught in one school, and at home you have something different, it's really about helping our children understand what is their personal truth, what feels like truth to them. Let me give you an example. When my son, my youngest son, we took him out of public school, and because he was dyslexic, it was very hard to find the program that would serve him because the public schools weren't serving him. We ended up finding a Catholic school that would have the program that would help him really learn well with his dyslexia, and he was in high school. So all this time, this poor kid's been struggling, and he was in and out of different situations that we thought were good and then ended up not to be. And there was it was really about being monitoring where he was getting the best education. All right, long story short, now we have to understand that my tradition, okay, and is Judaism. Now, what's important to understand about that is that you can have a tradition, okay, but I also believe that I'm very ecumenical in the fact that there's a lot of things that I don't go along with organized religion because, well, that's a whole other program now, isn't it? But anyway, so what was important is that he is going to a Catholic school during the day, and he would be going to Hebrew school in the evening so that he could go to confirmation because that's where his friends were, all right? Well, what was interesting is that from this experience, he learned that there's many different ways that people believe in God. And what he also, now he's going to be 32 right now, his viewpoint is to now is a very spiritual one in the fact that, as far as he's concerned, dogma is not what he wants in his life. Now, he really didn't learn that from me. He's kind of did, but it really wasn't drilled in because at the time he was going to school, I was much more traditional around the religion than I am now. Yet my other two children, who both went to public school and then went on to college, etc., they are at various levels of their observance of Judaism. So I find this very interesting, but he was able to actually extract what he believed was his truth while going to school without diminishing anybody else's belief, and it has made him a much more non-judgmental person than many children or young people that I know. And so what we need to teach our children is not only
what to help them discern, and that's an important word, discern their own personal truth, and also allow them to become curious of other belief systems or ways of life so that they can then become non-judgmental and allow others their opinion. So if one of the things that the records have told me about the various religions, I asked the question once to the records, and here's another example of what you can do with your records open. This was my personal question to the records. I had my personal records open, and I said, what is the truth about religion, and what is the truth about God? Who is really God? And why are there so many religions? And why are there so many religions that conflict each other? And why are there so many religions that want to preach love and yet are in many cases doing just the opposite? So this confused me. And what I was told is that every time a person incarnates, they have their choice of the belief system they choose to incarnate into. Now, I find that interesting. So what that means is, based on their soul's intention of experience, they can incarnate into, let's say, a Christian, a fundamentalist Christian home, and they can remain in that, with that belief system all of their life, because that's what their soul needed for that experience in that lifetime. There's other people who incarnate into a Jewish home and decide to move from being Jewish into being Christian. And it's never a right or wrong. And that's what one of the things that the records told me, is that it's not about a right or a wrong religion. It has to do with human experience and the soul's intention of experience for that particular lifetime, and how the belief systems that they are of the family that they're born into or that they adopt later in life assist them in their own personal growth and their own expansion of experience. And so it's very important to understand that we, at this stage of our life on our planet, it's absolutely key that we begin to teach our children tolerance, openness, and discernment of what their own personal truth is, and to support them in their free will choice based on their feelings of what feels good. We can raise a whole new generation of loving beings that will truly reduce, if not eliminate, war if we teach them how to access their own personal experience of what love means to them. Because when we love ourselves, we can never hurt another. It's really important for us to understand. When we love ourselves, we can never hurt another. Because we really know that we are all part of that, the divine. And so if anyone would like to call in and make a comment on that, I'd love to hear it. And if you're listening to BBS Radio, I'm just going to give you the number. We only have about 5 more minutes left, but I'd love to have a conversation. The telephone number here is 877-876-5227, or in Canada it's 888-815-9756. Or you can call direct at 530-876-3222. If you're interested in knowing more about what I do, please go up to the bbsradio.com website and click on Akashic Wisdom. It's got all my contact information. My personal telephone number that you can access and call and leave a message, and if I'm next to my desk, I'll answer the phone, is 216-691-1233. I'm in the Eastern Time Zone, but you can call anytime because there's a 24/7 voicemail on there, and I really would love to hear from you. But let's get back to this parenting thing. There's so many things that we need to really teach our kids about, again, personal truth and choice. You know, many times one of the things that I deal with people is bedtime. You know, kids have a hard time with bedtime. And they don't know how to get these kids to bed. It's like the kids don't want to listen when mom says it's time for bed. And you have to say, well, where were the choices when they were yet littler? Okay, so I'm going to stop now, and we've got a caller on the line. Hi there, who is this?
Hi, Donna, it's Nikki.
Hey, Nikki, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I was wondering if the record keepers could clarify how they're exactly what they're defining as discernment.
Oh, okay, so you want a definition of the word discernment?
Yes.
Okay. So the word discernment has to do with moving into a subject or a situation and deciding for oneself the true priority of the situation. True priority based on feelings and based on desired outcome. So the discernment has to do with understanding the path, if you will, of what action steps the individual wants to take, as well as the discerning feelings, the feelings that are accompanied by, let's say, a situation or an experience, and assessing how those feelings affect that person's life and what they want to do with it. Does that make sense to you?
What was the last thing, and what they are, how it affects their lives? And
it affects their life and what they want to do with it.
Okay. That seems a lot to consider at once.
Well, yes, that's why there's only one word for it, discernment, because it really has to do with the individual situation that's occurring.
Well, what was coming up before when you were speaking originally with people talking about the overall theme of, you know, what to do right or wrong or everything like that, that it seemed that to me that discernment spoke more to, I was trying to think of another word that was coming up that would be kind of more suitable. When you've said before, you know, feeling comfortable in your skin, so if you're feeling for your situation that it was like the choice that suited you and your whole life best.
Say that again.
What they were saying was the true priority of the situation. So it was like what was most suitable.
Right, exactly.
Based on your feelings.
Right, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
okay. Well, I mean, it would help if that's like a different way to look at things than people normally look at. Well, is this right or is this wrong? But if you think of, you know, is this more suitable?
I want to make a comment on is the word suitable. Suitable, what they're talking about, what they're saying is suitable in, it depends on how you define it because it has an edge of judgment in it.
Right. Well, I'm thinking of it is kind of like suitable, like your birthday suit, like comfortable in your skin for yourself.
Correct. Yeah, and there was it also has to do with it's based on feelings. Does this feel good? Does this feel appropriate, or does it feel in alignment? Do I feel in the flow with what's happening, or
is what I'm hearing myself tell myself, does that feel like truth to me? And so it's really, and many times what happens, though, when we use these words, you know, it's so tough in some cases to be human in the fact that words, although I love words, they can also box you in.
Right, and exactly.
So one of the
so
things,
much so.
Yeah, they do box you in. And so the discernment comes from understanding what it feels like, okay, to be in one's truth.
Right. Well, and also, so, but it's certainly something for parents to consider to really help their children realizing with going with really that gut feeling.
Right.
Of what is truth for them. So much is always based on seemingly like what is right or wrong, and also the giving them the idea that your truth might not be somebody else's.
That's exactly right.
And vice versa.
That's exactly right. So that they can feel more, we're raising children that are not as steeped in judgment as they are open to considering somebody else's information as somebody else's information rather than being wrong.
Right.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Which is really a whole different way often than it's currently being presented.
Well, that's it. That's exactly right. You know, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so that's exactly right. In other words, it's really about teaching non-judgment based on feelings and openness and allowing.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea here is we were talking about just a minute ago about bedtime. So the idea here is with the kid that says, oh, you know, tell the child, okay, it's time to go to bed. And the kid says, I don't want to go to bed. And it's like, okay, well, which do you want to wear? You want the blue pajamas or the red pajamas? Well, I don't want to wear pajamas. Well, okay, you can go to sleep without pajamas tonight. That's okay. But you're still not, it's not about, you know, the idea is that there comes a time, in other words, like, there comes a time where a child is given choice, and there comes a time that the parent has to choose for them when they're littler, but then they are able to choose what they want based on their feelings. And at that point that kid doesn't want to go to bed, depending on their age, naturally, it's really up to the parent, rather than getting into a challenge fight, it's really more about asking the child, why? What is it that you want to stay up for? Because so many parents will break into their little kid talking to their other little, to the real little kid, that they really only get it, they get into a battle instead of a conversation that can actually bring them closer. Does that make sense?
Well, that would be also something else for parents to consider, though, is actually considering that their children, even at a very young age, has their own opinion.
Well, that's it. And allowing for that opinion so that the parent can then speak to it and then guide the child into having a very open horizon of consideration, you know. But again, this is not to be taken to the nth degree where that's clearly there are times that parents have to make the decisions for the kids. That's just the way it's got to be, you know. And that's a fine line, very fine line.
Well, I think that's a whole nother program in itself.
Yeah, it sure is. And we're out of time anyway, so I have to close. You know?
That's right.
I'm so glad
okay.
you called in. Thank you for listening.
Sure.
Okay.
Good night.
All right, so we have to close the records of the show. Remember, October 14th, look to the skies, and remember to put in your energy centers, in your energy field, welcome love. I am love, welcoming love to the Federation of Light. So we want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, we ask that everyone here, may their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may you all truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Show by saying, amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. Amen. Good night, everyone. Have a great week. and look for miracles. They're all around you. Blessings to you. Good night.